Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. And today, we, of course, are in our study called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. We're on the air, we're online, and we're streaming live video to the Basic Gospel entries on both Facebook and YouTube. We hope you'll take advantage of those. Today, we'll be continuing in our study through the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide. It will be picking up on page 109 and the chapter number 15. Guys, it gets right down to the bottom line. Eternal life doesn't get any better than that. So we encourage you folks to, if you have your study guide, go ahead and turn to page 109 because it is our Friday study edition. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We are getting down to the bottom line. It is all about eternal life. And I think when we look at what this chapter is all about, we're going to come out with a new perspective on what eternal life is. I think so many of us think of it in terms of longevity. It's a forever type of thing. But really, when the Bible talks about eternal life, it's talking about a quality of life, a newness of life that's altogether different than what we experience when we were lost or dead in sin. And really, this chapter ties all the strings of this book together. We started out with life, the fact that Jesus Christ came that we might have life. That's why he was raised from the dead, so that you and I could be raised from the dead as well and experience new life in Christ. We've talked about forgiveness, the fact that Jesus Christ stood in our place and died to take away our sins once and for all so that we could be forgiven, so that we could stand before God, holy and righteous in his sight, out from underneath that blanket of condemnation that we once lived under. And then you combine those two, life and forgiveness, and you get freedom. And when you look at all of those three together, life plus forgiveness equals freedom. Freedom to do what? Freedom to know Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. God did everything that he did in Christ so that we would have this opportunity to know him. That's what eternal life is all about, knowing Christ Jesus and God the Father. That's what constitutes eternal life. That's this quality of life that we get to experience right now, right here. It's not something that we have to wait for when we die and then enter into eternal life. This is something that we can experience right now. And I remember, you know, my first grade year, that's a long, long time ago. And the first day of that class of my first grade year, our teacher, Mrs. Paste, you know, offered up one of those questions, one of those icebreaker questions to get all the kids in the room to talk and to share a little bit of what their home life was like. And so the question on the table is, what is your dad like, or what does your dad do? And all the kids started answering, and it got to my turn, and I stood up and said, well, my dad sleeps all day. And that put a shock through the room, especially as far as Mrs. Paste was concerned. And she was a little concerned about what that meant, you know, what's going on at the Christopher household. Well, she picked up the phone and called my mom, and boy, it just ticked my mom off to hear the answer that I gave in class. Well, here as a little five-year-old, what I knew about my dad was that he slept all day, because that's what I saw. That's what I observed with my own eyes. When I came home from school, my dad was asleep on the couch. Well, I didn't know a lot about my dad back then. He was working two jobs and going to school, going to college full-time in order to get his degree in accounting. And so when he had a few minutes of spare time, he would get some shut-eye. Why? Because he was dog-tired. He needed it. Well, all I saw was him sleeping. And so that's what I communicated. That's exactly right. But that's all I knew about Dad. But as I grew and as I started to understand him more, I got to know him. I got to know him intimately and personally, know that he didn't like peanut butter or iced tea, that he hated the song The 12 Days of Christmas. But I also found out that he really loved my mom, and he would do anything for her. And he loved us kids, and you know, just we were his life, and he would do anything. We knew, found out he loved math, and he could just fly on a calculator with those fingers. It was just amazing to sit and watch him do his work. But I also learned that he was a man of integrity, that he cherished honesty and truthfulness above all things, that he never did anything out of selfish ambition. It was about being fair and honest in all of his interactions with people. And as I started to grow, those qualities and characteristics started to rub off on me. And some of the greatest compliments I've ever received in life are when people have looked at me and said, you know, you're getting to be a lot like your dad. And if only I could be half the man that he was, I'd be pretty happy, because he was something spectacular. But as I got to know him, I started to change and to be transformed by that relationship. Now, that's what eternal life is all about. We have this opportunity to know God, to know him personally, and as we grow in that understanding of who he is, then his qualities, his characteristics start to rub off on us. And I tell you, that's a transformation. Yeah. That's not something that we can get through intellectual pursuit, or just, you know, gaining more and more of the facts. It is about a personal encounter, and that's where real transformation begins, and that's where real transformation takes place, as we get to know personally and intimately God our Father through Jesus Christ our Son. And actually, that's what eternal life is all about. And so we want to jump into our study in, Richard, I think one of our favorite verses.
Yes.
John 17:3. Why don't you read that to us, and then let's have a discussion as to what that means to us on a day-to-day basis. John 17:3.
Okay. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
This is the only place in the Word of God
Yep.
where eternal life is defined. Mm-hmm. We get some clue as to what God means when he uses the term eternal life. So how does Jesus define eternal life in this verse?
As knowing his Father, God, the only true God, and knowing him, because God sent him to come and get us and rescue us.
Yeah. So it's knowing Christ. That's
Yes.
what eternal life is. That's what constitutes eternal life. So let's kind of shift our thinking a little bit. If you're thinking of it in terms of longevity, a forever thing, and it is, because Jesus lives forever, and because he lives forever, he has an indestructible life. We're going to live forever.
Yes.
We're going to be with God forever. That's the longevity. That's the term of it, but there's a quality to it, and that quality is in this personal relationship. Now, as far as Christianity is concerned, we pride ourselves on saying that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. This verse really underscores that truth, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's so sad that we say that, and then so often we belie that statement by our activities. Now, if we concentrated just on knowing Jesus, what a radical change would take place in our lives, as opposed to trying to do things for Jesus, which changes nothing.
Yes, yes. We have a good friend of the ministry. His name is Bill Stewart. Bill Stewart works with Primerica, and he has been with Primerica forever, and he's one of the, top representatives in that company. And we had another friend, John, who had gotten into Primerica. And just in casual conversation one day, I said, well, do you know Bill Stewart? And he said, no, I don't know Bill Stewart, but boy, I would give anything I could to spend 5 minutes with him. What did he want to spend 5 minutes with Bill Stewart for? To get to know Bill, to get to know what makes Bill tick, so that some of that could rub off on John, so that he could begin to be as successful in the company as
Yes.
Bill had been. It was all about a relationship. John wanted that relationship, and he wanted that relationship so that relationship could benefit him in a very positive way as far as Primerica is concerned. And I think that's what this relationship we have with God is like. That points to what it's like, that as we get to know Jesus, as we get to know God the Father by faith, then their qualities, their characteristics begin to rub off on us. And there's a great passage in 1 John 4 17, and we get to see something that the Word of God says that is really stunning.
Yes.
I think just astonishing to think that this could actually be true of us, but indeed it is. Mm-hmm. And it's 1 John 4:17, and here's what John wrote. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. So this love is made complete in us as it flows from God into our hearts and then out of our hearts into the lives of others. That's what completes the cycle. God didn't pour his love into our hearts so that it would just be a reservoir of love that dwells within us. That's this deep well within us. No, it's a living river. It's a river that flows. It flows into us from God and then out of us by faith into the lives of others. That completes the cycle. That gives us the confidence to know that we truly belong to Christ, that when we are loving one another. Why? Because we know that love comes from God himself. So that gives us confidence on the day of judgment. And then he makes this statement, in this world, we are like Jesus. Now, what was Jesus like? Well, he was the Son of the Most High. He was the Messiah. He was God in human flesh. But when he lived here on planet Earth, he put his divine qualities kind of to the side, his divine prerogative. And he said, I'm going to live in dependence upon my Father. So he did what his Father told him to do. He spoke what his Father told him to say. Those miracles that he performed, he would say, it's not me doing those. It's my Father working through me. So he lived independent. So he received the love of his Father, and then he poured that love out into the lives of others. So as we get to know God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, that becomes our disposition in life. We receive from God the Father, then we pass that on to others.
Yeah.
And so in this world, we are like Jesus. That's stunning, isn't it?
It is. And you said something there that I think we've got to emphasize. We receive from the Father. So many times we think of this, oh, I need to get to know Jesus better. And so I think back, well, how did I get to know my wife? I asked her out on a date, and I tried to impress her, and I talked, and we talked, and we went to nice places, and eventually fell in love. That's not how this works. God was already in love with us.
Yes.
He's the one who's convincing us that we are loved, and so this does flow from him. Every bit of this is God's initiative to us, and we are the joyful recipients if we'll just do what it's talking about here.
That's right, and we will become like him.
Yes.
That's the transformation. I mean, God has already predetermined that he is going to conform us to the image of Christ. How is he going to do that? Through relationship. Mm-hmm. As he reveals himself more and more to us in the person of Jesus Christ, through the work that he accomplished for us 2,000 years ago, through his abiding presence in us, right here and now. So it's through relationship this transformation takes place, and we get to experience life everlasting right now, right here.
Right now, right here. Good stuff, guys. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Our Friday study edition, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. I'm Bob Davis, and I'm glad you're here as well. We are nearing the end of this study, and if you have joined us in progress or if you've missed any of the sessions, we hope you'll take advantage of our archive, our audio archive of these Friday broadcasts. At basicgospel.net, just click the radio drop-down menu and select Teaching Edition. There you'll find the full archive, and there you can also order a copy of the study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and accompany your study. We hope you'll take advantage of that. It's an excellent study. Hope you will immerse yourself in the truth of God's Word through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. So getting back to eternal life, it's knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. It's a quality of life that is so different than what we had before we didn't know God. You know, Larry Alex Taunton has been on our program, and he befriended Christopher Hitchens, the famous atheist, and Hitchens presented a challenge. He called it, it's known as the Hitchens Challenge. And he said, name one thing that a believer can do that an unbeliever can't do.
Yeah.
And so many people have talked about charity and those sort of things. And here's where the difference lies. An unbeliever does not know God. An atheist will never know God because they don't believe he exists. But we get to know God and be transformed by that knowledge. That's what we get to know. That's what we get to do. And that's made available to us in this new covenant.
Yes.
It wasn't available under the old covenant. It's a new covenant reality. And here's what the new covenant says. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me from the least of them to the greatest. So this new covenant is a ministry of life.
Yes.
It's not of the law, because the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. This life is experienced in knowing God. So in this new covenant, we know the Lord. We all know him. Not just some of us, all of us. So we're equal in this, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, what an amazing thing. What a non-human thing.
Yes.
I mean, part of what drives our society today is the idea that somebody somewhere might not be quite equal. And so
we
try our hardest to equalize everybody. And what we end up doing is lowering everybody to the lowest common denominator. What God did is raise us all to the highest possible common denominator of knowing him.
Yes.
Because he made that possible.
Made that possible. So we all have access to God by that one Spirit. Every single one of us. God shows no favoritism. You buy tickets to a concert, or you buy tickets to a speaking event. And
yeah.
And there's even, Christians that do the same thing. You can pay $25, you'll get in the door. If you pay $100, you're going to get in the middle section. If you pay $200, you're going to get up front. And then if you pay $500, you might get dinner with the guy. And so you're paying for access. And sometimes we think that's the way it works with God. But no, that's not the case.
No.
God has eliminated all of that and said it is by grace through faith in Jesus. When we've been saved, when we've been born again, we all have equal access into the Father. He makes himself available, known to each and every one of us.
Jesus paid for access.
Yes. Yes, he did.
Boy, what a price.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we need to realize that. So God took away our sins. God took away your sins. God reconciled you to himself. He justified you. He sanctified you. He made you alive, and he poured his Spirit into your life for this single purpose, to know and enjoy him. This is ultimate freedom. This is eternal life. As a teacher once said to me years ago, Dan DeHaan was his name. It's where I really started learning about the grace of God, where the light switch was turned on as far as the grace of God was concerned. For me, he wrote a book, Knowing God, and he said this: God created men to know him. God created men to enjoy him. That's the purpose of this whole gospel message, so that we could know and enjoy God the Father. And as we said, that's what eternal life is. And that's what you can experience right here and right now. Now, as far as this relationship is concerned, here's why Jesus came. And, there's lots of reasons why Jesus came: to take away our sins, to give us life, all of those sort of things. But one of my favorite passages that list out one of the reasons he came, it's John 1:18. And it says this: no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father. He has made him known. So why did Jesus Christ come into this world?
To make the Father known to us.
To make the Father known to us. Now, let's talk about this for a few minutes. Before we had an encounter with Jesus, what did we think about God? What were our views about God? What would we have said about God? How would we have described him as a being? What would we say?
I probably would have described him more in terms of Zeus, the Greek god. Very powerful. Very fickle, probably liked my sister in ways that I was uncomfortable with, you know. You never knew when Zeus was going to bring the lightning bolt and wipe you out. And
right.
So all you did was try to appease Zeus. That's all I did with God the Father for a good part of my life.
Yeah. I think a lot of people think of him, as the man upstairs.
Yeah.
And so he's distant. He's not really interested. Every once in a while, he kind of sweeps down and pays a little bit of attention, but he's just the man upstairs.
Usually when he's angry that he's paying attention.
Right. Then some of us think of him in terms of a Santa Claus figure.
Yeah.
You know, if we're good, if we're nice, then we might get some blessings from him. If we're naughty, you know, who knows what we'll get? It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good at all. Others just think he's just sick at his stomach at us.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of ideas about God that is floating around. Most of those ideas are sourced by sin and the world itself.
Yes.
So you and I were talking the other day. The three of us were talking, and I think a good book title would be something like this: When Sin Speaks.
Yeah.
What does it say about God? Well, when sin speaks, it says all kinds of horrific things about God. And a lot of times our sins speak and try to teach us things about God. And those things that our sins try to teach us about God are nothing but lies.
Yeah.
So if we're going to know the truth about God, somebody that really knows God needed to come and tell us. And that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He knows God the Father. And so he came to teach us what God is really like. I think that is such an incredible thing for us to realize, that in Jesus we can really get to know God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He said that to his disciples: if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
He and the Father are one. So everything that we need to know about God has been revealed to us in the person of Christ. Richard Dawkins, a famous biologist, he's an atheist. He just detests Christians, and he says we just need to be aggressive as atheists and to get rid of religion out of the human story. We need to expunge it from human life. And one of the things that he says is that if God does exist, he's certainly the most complicated being in the universe, and so complicated he's beyond our reach, beyond our understanding. And that's true.
It's true.
He is beyond our reach. He is beyond our understanding. Yeah. But God knew all about that. And that's why he simplified things and became one of us in the person of Christ Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus. So that everything about God that we could know could be found out when we looked at Christ himself. Why did Jesus come? To make the Father known to us. So is it really possible for us to know what God is like without someone telling us?
No.
Absolutely not. We cannot figure him out. Sin is going to make sure that whatever we come up as far as our understanding of God is going to be a distorted view, like a Picasso painting.
Yeah.
But we don't have to worry about that. God has sent Jesus to make the Father known to us. That's
Absolutely.
Good news.
That is great news. Thanks, guys. Well, thank you, friends, for joining us for this study through Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, the study guide of that same name. And you can find the complete audio archive of these Friday editions under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, radio drop-down, teaching editions. And to all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts, thank you. Because you support at Basic Gospel, we can do what we do, and that is bring the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are searching, to those who need to hear that God loves them and has provided for them. When you give through Basic Gospel, you have a part in every life that is touched. We hope you can give today, as a matter of fact. Just click that prominent link on the homepage at basicgospel.net, and when you do, we have a special gift as our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, that's our website, basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for this week, everybody, at Basic Gospel. We hope that you have a wonderful weekend in and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, if you have a question pop up over the weekend, we'd love for you to call and pose it to us. You'll hear your voice and your question posed next week on Basic Gospel. Call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. We're going to take a break now until Monday and hope you'll have a great weekend of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.